Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Alundis Havens. Alundis is a Marine Corps veteran who hosts the Winner's Paradigm podcast, where he helps others learn what they can do to create daily habits that can help them achieve their goals. And in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the ways that we can work to better ourselves through some of the things that he talks about on his podcast. So welcome to the show. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and things like that.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Scott, for having me on the show, brother. It's an enormous pleasure to be able to be here, you know, and help out other veterans. My name is Alundis Havens. I'm originally from Fresno, California, which is the center of California, not the good part. So growing up there was a fun time. It's just a different mindset. You know, it's looking at somebody differently and you know, it's different mindset on the way that people interact and so forth. So basically what I'm saying is my whole life, you know, with kind of how my parents raised me and adapting to my environment, I controlled myself in a box. And I lived in that box where I only thought of those certain topics, didn't really expand, you know, don't push your beliefs on me. All the way until when I got into high school, I started challenging these things that my stepdad was. He was real conservative. And it wasn't that he was conservative. It was just some of the things you would say was outdated or unjust. And that's where when you start challenging those things, people get upset, you know. So it was one of those where it was like, you can't say this because now you're hyperanalyzing everything someone's saying. So it was one of those where it was like, hey, who do I want to be? I started realizing that there was a lot of things that I didn't agree with that he was doing. And that's okay. You know, that's where we're able to revitalize and see. So I ended up getting kicked out of my house. You know, I'm bumming it off my friends' couches. When I was about 16, I started just going home every day. I would do my chores. I would go stay with my friends because I knew an altercation with my stepdad would happen eventually and I would get kicked out. Ultimately, that did happen when I turned 18, but I moved back in. Week later, you know, called my recruiter. Hey, brother, I need to get up out of here. You know, shipped out 3 months early, probably the best thing I ever did in my life. You know, so ended up going to the Marine Corps, came home, boot leave, traumatic event that almost changed, that did change my life, but it could have been a lot worse. So that was one of the eye openers where it was like, this place that you call home is not your home. Don't ever go back. Coming to that point, it was really tough for me. I had two friends that died then, while I was in the Marine Corps, a third friend that had cancer died before I went on deployment. So that was tough, you know, trying to be on that mindset, but knowing that you were still hurting, but us as veterans, you know, we push everything to the side, we keep going. So it was not really understanding who I was certainly, but it was going through all these traumatic events and not knowing, you know, so eventually, deploy, come back. And it was quite funny. I jumped a little ahead. It was funny because I was in the Marine Corps 3 weeks. They said, hey, we're sending you to Yuma for training. Go out there for 2.5 months. Found out I was there a month early. So I'm wasted another month, you know, just doing admin work, blah, blah, blah. 2.5 months go by. All right, well, let's go back to the unit. So I get back to the unit for a week. Actually, you're going to 29 Palms. So I go out there for another 2.5 months, get back to the unit. Oh, 3 months, we're going to deploy. So it was boom, you know, moving super fast. Came back from deployment, actually had the opportunity to be operations and training chief as an E4. So that's an E6 position. So that's where I started to excel, learn about business, how to learn how to publicly speak. I'd be in the room with all the staff NCOs. And that was definitely a tough challenge for me as an E4 because I got promoted day of. So I had no, you know, I didn't have my own ego and I didn't know who I particularly was. So I was trying to learn how to be able to talk and they're going to eat that stuff up. You know, if they realize when you start talking to them, you know, so I had to go up there, staff sergeant and hey, this is what we need done. This is what the CEO wants. This is what sergeant major wants. Oh, we're not going to do training. All right. Well, just let you know, your Marine's not going to get promoted. So either get this done. We're not getting a Marine promoted or, you know, they're like, I'm not going to do this training. Well, you want to know who that's coming from? Sergeant major. So I go run to sergeant major. You know, and it was a good time there. Ended up tearing all the cartilage in my right knee. From there, I got pulled off a board, a sergeant board. And it was, you know, tough for me mentally because it was stripping me of everything I was. And at that time, you know, it was working my butt off, working 16 to 18 hours, going to school on the side. And it was tough because I created, you know, who I wanted to be. I worked on it. I was achieving everything, but then I got that injury and it was all of a sudden, you know, you're on the shelf. You're not who you are. So it was learning the new identity. Unfortunately, I had to get out the Marine Corps because I could not fix my issue. I whittled it down to my last 3 weeks. Oh, I'm going to get surgery. Actually, my surgeon got orders. So I go to the specialist. Adamin gives you an extension. Adamin's like, no, we don't give you a medical extension. Go back to medical. And I'm going back and forth. And they said, well, you can do 2 physical fitness tests and then a combat fitness test. And then they go, but if you do go on limb, do a third time, that's where it's going to be malingering. And I go, you know what? I'm done. Like I've went through this, you know, I excelled, I accomplished what I wanted to for the most part. I wanted to be a recruiter, wasn't able to do that. But I said, hey, you know, my body is ticking. It fell apart completely. And it was one injury after the next. So I said, hey, I need to get out at least for the next couple of years. And I can start learning about myself and what I'm doing. And that led me to eventually, you know, starting my own podcast where I took that leap, the winner's paradigm. And it's all about, you know, recalibrating your mindset so you can achieve what you want. So that was a big portion of my journey. Now being able to jump into it. And it's awesome being able to talk to other veterans as yourself, Scott, where you can just talk to them about life, you know, the things we struggle as veterans. I was one of those, you know, that was so fixated in that mindset of drilling into people or, you know, respect. I'd say the Marine Corps, that's the one thing, you know, proper greeting the days when you walk in. If not, they'd be like, go back and just start messing with you. Well, civilian sector, people walk on by and just stare at you. And I'm like, hey, how you doing, brother? And they don't say anything to me. So I'm like, what the, you know, what's your problem? And then I ended up coming into, I worked at a mortgage brokerage and it was hard for me transitioning because I'm talking to, and keep in mind at that time, I'm 22, 23. I'm talking to kids and I hate using that word, but in the Marine Corps, I learned that if you call someone a kid, they're going to identify themselves as that. But these kids were 22, 23 as myself, but they were just on a complete other spectrum because they either were going to school, their parents helped them their whole life, but they never really understood, you know, how to communicate with people, mature a little bit. So it was difficult for me because I'm getting in arguments or people are like, oh, what did you do? Did you just sleep on your mama's couch? And I'm like, actually, I got kicked out my house, went to the Marine Corps, accomplished all these things, got married, realized who I wanted to be. Luckily, I did it at a young age, so I don't have to waste more years of my life, you know, being destructive. And yeah, so great time there, brother.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good background or a good description of your background gives us an idea of kind of where you're coming from, you know, what your path was, your history and everything like that. And, you know, it one of the things that, you know, kind of turned me on to having you on the show is this thought that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? Yes, sir. That's why I wanted to have you join me today, because you talk about making those changes in your habits or routines in your daily life that actually produce different results, right? Because if we're just sitting here and we're doing the same thing, you know, we're trying to get ahead with the same level of education that we had, you know, all along, you know, not going back to school and trying to better ourselves or, you know, working the same dead end job and hoping that someday you're going to just wake up and start enjoying it. Like, you know, like that's, exactly. It doesn't work that way. Right. You know? So I want to talk to you about some of these changes that people make. And I know on your show, you talk about that with some of your guests, but also in your own life, you know, what some of the things were that caused you to flip the script in your own life and decide, you know what, this is not the way I want it to continue going. And I, you know, recognize that some change needs to be made. You know, how did that happen? And how did you come to that conclusion that, you know what, I need to make these changes?
Great question, brother. And I take that one to heart. And the reason why I say that is my parents weren't the greatest, you know, they tried, but they were real young. My dad partied, drugs, did everything you can think of. And it was, you know, seeing all these things for yourself, seeing the materialistic things, the Corvette, the nice car. And it's like, all that to him not being happy, still getting a divorce, you know, or he's almost 50 years old, still acting that way. Or when he would come down, when I was stationed in San Diego, he would come down and be like, hey, let's go drink. And it was, you know, do I want to be that person? Not that, you know, some people, that's cool, you know, but it's different when you still have younger kids. But it's just, I don't want to be partying until 4 o'clock in the morning. And for me, I developed a big drinking problem because of the trauma from when I was a child on boot leave. Certain things that happened to me that I just used that wall, you know, and I protected myself from people because of that. Now, the fortunate thing is I got married and all that stuff came out. So every single insecurity, everything that happened to me as a child, it all of a sudden started coming out. It started coming out that maybe, you know, I'm not family oriented, and it's because my family is not like that. You know, they only want you for your value. So I used the term, and I went to a leadership course. He said, it's transactional. And that's where I figured is, I think of like that way, you know, if you can't provide me value, if it's not positive energy, I'm not going to be around you. And with my family, it's the totally other opposite. You know, they're fixated in what they're doing. They like to talk something. Perfect example, starting the podcast. Why would you want to do that? And it was, oh, no one's going to give a shit about what you have to say. Excuse me. I don't know.
So yeah, it was, no, you're good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So it was kind of like, you know what? We do think that, you know, when we're in the military, we get told, you know, shut up and do what you're supposed to do, keep going. So we push everything to the side. The problem is we don't acknowledge what's going on, and we get so fixated in that little path or whatever it is. So when we get to that dead end job, no one cares. We're just going to keep pushing. Well, 1 year turns into 5 years. Yeah, I'm not that person. I promised myself after the Marine Corps, I would never be in a position where I was behind leadership. And it was something where it was like I had nowhere to grow. You know, I had two leaders, one of them, amazing individual, terrible leader, pull me to the side, start chewing me out. You're a piece of crap and so forth, you know, and go further than that. But it was one of those where I can take it. You know, I can take the butt chewing and be cool with it. But it was one of those where I was like, I don't want that to be me. You know, luckily, my Marines shaped me in a different way, where I learned that they all have their different personalities, get trained differently. But I promised myself then that I would never be behind a leader that I didn't believe in. And when I got off the Marine Corps, one of my staff sergeants, she's like, are you ever going to talk to me? Do you want to grab lunch? I said, no, there's no way that I'll ever be in the same room with you. It's just, it's not it. You know, you can't provide me with anything. She's just one of those manipulative people. They would use politics, or they would go behind, you know, I would have a plan set. This is what our training plan is. She would go in there, mess it up, and then tell me to fix it. And I'm like, why didn't you just leave it originally how it was? But it was a pride thing. She had to take the recognition. So it was learning all those things, learning that I didn't want to be that. I started drinking about a gallon of whiskey to cope, learning that I had a problem. Eventually, my wife kept telling me. And it was, you know, hitting that point where it was, what am I going to do? Like I said, I had three good friends die. My grandfather died when I got out the Marine Corps, which is the tip of the iceberg, because that was like my dad for me, you know. And it was, who am I going to go to now if I can't, you know? And it was, I lean on my father-in-law because he's the dad I never had, but it was awesome, you know, learning that I can be who I want to be if I take some steps, you know, and if I mature and learn how to cope with things and be able to talk about these things that stricken me, or, you know, the way I perceive things is completely different. Because I was realizing, you know, when I get in certain rooms with people, I would automatically check out of the conversation if they start thinking one way because of what they said. But when I realized this experience, that's when the game changed for me, was, hey, you know, they didn't realize what you went through. You obviously didn't go through what they did. So if you can try to enlighten them, perfect. If not, not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to understand. So those were a little bit of the things, brother, that really got me moving to start the podcast and change my whole personality, change who I was, because I wasn't happy anymore, you know, going through it. You know, I've always been pushing, doing something. I always have to do two things at once, but it was hitting that point where I don't like these people around me. They're not doing it. These people just want to drink. Well, I stopped drinking. All of a sudden you're square. You know what I am. I like to read books now. And it was different, you know, and you start realizing those things is, maybe I was just with the wrong crowd. And then you get around the right crowd, all of a sudden, you know, you get that light bulb go off, and it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. And I like that, the light bulb going off, and you come to this realization. It's like, oh, this is where I need to be. This is the path I need to be on. And then things just seem like they start to fall in place a little bit easier than they were when you were spinning your wheels, stuck in that same situation, right? And I know we probably have some listeners who are out there who feel like they're stuck in a rut, that they're spinning their wheels, like I was saying. What is like step one to getting out of that rut and flipping the script on their own life to get to that point where they they see that path, and like the light is now shining, and it's like, here it is. This is where I need to be going, right?
Yes, sir. So for this one, I'm going to add a little onto it. I like to do a three-step, you know, because you can't have just step one, because some people are going to think, all right, you know, step one, you got to find what you want. Some people, oh, I know what I want. I want to be a doctor. Well, then you obviously got to go to school. But for someone who doesn't want to be a doctor, maybe you want to be a real estate agent. Maybe you want to start your own landscaping company. You need to figure out what you want to do. And then from there, find somebody who is doing it, you know, and we have a great tool out there, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn. When I got out the Marine Corps, someone approached me on LinkedIn and it was a financial advisor. And I'm like, hey, brother, I ain't got money like that right now. And it was, no, I just want to be your friend. I want to help you out through this journey. Man, it was amazing connecting me with other individuals that I can talk to. So that's why I'd say first, you know, figure out what you want to do, because I'm not going to be that one. I'm going to college. I'm finishing up my business management degree, but I realize college isn't for me. I'm doing it, you know, for my professional career, postgraduate, you know, possibly in the future after I start my business. But that's not what I need to be able to have my own business, right? That's my goal, is having my own business. A degree is going to help you, you know, it's going to allow you to network, but at the same time, there's other ways to do it. You can get into LinkedIn, Facebook groups. Veteran groups are amazing because veterans aren't going to tell each other no. We're a community, we help each other. So definitely find, you know, what you want to do, get involved with the group. That's one of the things I did as well. You know, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I ended up following a podcast group on Facebook, and I started saying, hey, you know, you guys are amazing people. You know, you changed my life with kind of the perspective when it first started shifting. And then one guy messaged me, and that's actually my mentor now. And he was just like, hey, brother, I'm a Army captain, retired, or I just got out the service. Let me know if you have any questions, you need anything. And it was that one conversation that I'd hit him up every so often. Hey, brother. And so forth. Yeah, I have a question on this. So definitely find that person you can confide in that's doing what you want to do, so you can learn, hey, what kind of steps do I need to take? If it means going to school, absolutely. You know, you got to take your steps stride by stride. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie, you know, when I first got back into college in the Marine Corps, that was tough. You know, it's trying to relearn everything, because the way we learn in the military is completely different. And
yeah, for sure. You know, and you said, you know, if you need to go to school, obviously go to school, right? For whatever it is that you want to do. But, you know, one thing I think sometimes people get stuck in their head is that school looks like a, you know, traditional 4-year college or something like that. And depending on what it is that you want to do, that may not even be the school that that is the best route for you. You know, exactly. If you want to be an electrician or a plumber or a, you know, some trade type job, then a 4-year degree, I mean, yeah, it's going to help, especially if you want to, you know, start your own company somewhere down the line. But that's not probably the first step that you want to be taking. You probably want to, you know, get that trade under your belt and do that. I actually had a guy on the podcast a while back, and he actually uses GI Bill to become a yoga instructor. And
that's awesome.
You know, he went to the training, the school, you know, whatever it was, and he was able to get that training and that certification, whatever it is that he needed to do. I forget the exact terminology or whatever that they call it, but he was able to get it through all of that. And you know, and now that's what he does. He teaches yoga and he is living the life that he wants to be living, and he's doing things that he's passionate about, that he's happy with, and everything. And to me, that's an incredible success story, right? Like he was in this dark place. He was depressed. He didn't know, you know, really what was going on with his life and everything. And now he's doing great things and enjoying it along the way. So,
absolutely.
You know, I guess my point there is think outside of the box too. You know, you don't necessarily need to go spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on a 4-year degree for certain things. You know, certain things, yeah, you're going to need that. If that's what you want to do, then absolutely you're going to have to go to school for that. But other things you may not need to, and you may be happier doing some of those other things too. So think about those and consider those along the way as well.
And I'll add one more thing, Scott. I know we get to find a mentor. Now, this is where, you know, it's up to you. If you're in that position and you're comfortable, if you have to pay for a mentor, I agree. You know, I do that myself now that I was able to build up to have a little bit more money, you know, was able to get my VA disability up, $50 extra a month goes towards a mastermind group where I'm able to learn from other people, but also joining a mastermind group, you're able to network. So for instance, for the podcast, I could just go in the network. Hey, you know, who wants to connect and be able to talk about, you know, X, Y, and Z and be able to get that. And then at the same time, get that expert level, you know, so that's going to lead you to being able to execute it where you can say, all right, this is what I want. This is helping me. This is what I'm going to do every single day. Maybe it's, you know, waking up, brushing your teeth first thing, not checking the phone, doing those small changes that you're not going to notice. You're going to think, oh, this is cookie cutter. Cookie cutter works because if you apply it, you're finally going to understand sometimes, okay, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should prioritize a little more. Maybe I should listen or be able to actually reach out to others and say, hey, you know, what are you doing that's working? What am I doing that's not working? And then, you know, you're going to have to listen to what you don't want to hear. The faster you can get over that, faster you're going to succeed.
Yeah, for sure. And I've been in a mastermind, a couple of different mastermind groups in the past, and you're right. Sometimes the stuff that you hear in those groups is not stuff that you want to hear, but it's stuff that you need to hear. And that's a great way. And if you're willing to accept that advice and feedback, it's a great way to get yourself moving out of that rut, because it's going to challenge you to do things that maybe you wouldn't have done otherwise. And absolutely, it's going to push you and make you become a better version of yourself. Right. So I like that you mentioned the mastermind group, because that's something I don't know that we really talk much about on this podcast before, but you know, for anyone who's unfamiliar with masterminds, they're really, you know, a group of you know, other people in whatever, you know, industry that you might be in. Other could be other business owners, could be other people who are, you know, doing the same type of work that you do. They're familiar with your industry, and you know, you bounce ideas off each other, and you help each other out, and you ask for advice and everything, and it's really just a group of people trying to help each other out. You know, is in my experience, anyways, right?
Yes, sir.
So. And you go further together when you have other people who are working with you, especially veterans, because veterans will actually go out of their way to help you, right? When you have that group of people who are willing to help each other, it's just going to make it so much easier, because sometimes you get stuck so much in your own head of, you know, I need to do this, and it's like trying to fit a square peg through a round hole, and it's just not going to work, right?
Exactly, brother.
And then you get someone else's perspective and you're like, oh, you know what? Stupid. I got to just grab that round peg and I'll fit it through that round hole and boom, now I got it. Now I have this solution in front of me here. Right.
Exactly. So brother.
That's exactly what the mastermind groups are there for. And I'm glad that you mentioned that.
And what's also funny about that as well is earlier I was talking about that Army officer, right? That reached out to me. Well, I told him, I said, hey brother, I don't care, you know, what it is. You're going to be the first guest of my podcast because you inspired me to take action, right? So in that episode, it was kind of funny because I listed, you know, the questions that I wanted and I wanted to talk about it. And then the questions are up and I was like, oh, what's next, you know? But anyway, so it was funny learning that point, you know, and showing that growth now. But it was awesome talking to him because he talked about right now, you may not have the skills that you need. All you have to do is start studying on it. So like we said, mastermind groups are something. You can read books, you can do audiobooks, you can watch YouTube videos. And he was showing me, hey, you know, if you put the time in, you can be able to develop that skill. So in his case, he did the same thing. He does jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, excuse me. So he was able to start a podcast about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, started interviewing people. He learned how to digital market, became a consultant doing that, was hired on by a company. Now he's a CMO for another company. So it was awesome, you know, learning that. And then eventually they approached me and they said, hey, do you want to be a moderator for our group? You're always active. You're talking to other people, you're networking, you're helping us out. Would you like to be a part of the team, you know, attracting new people to be a part of it? So it was awesome, you know, learning that. And it was kind of funny. And I told them the same thing, was like, you know what, you're 100% right. Like, I'm not there 100% developing the skill, but it's still going. I'm learning so much. And now I'm able to apply that application. So that was one of the things, you know. Some people don't think sometimes, oh, I need money, I need this. You don't, you know, you can be able to join a free group. You can be able to challenge people, ask those questions, And then for you, you know, just start analyzing, seeing what you're doing, you know, okay, if you're interested in whatever, you know, making YouTube videos, maybe it's cars, we'll start watching a little bit of videos and start learning a little more. And then from there, you can be able to apply that later on because you're eventually going to pick it up so much and realize it before your eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that the environment that we are in also affects the outcomes that we see. I know you were talking a little bit about your upbringing and how that environment wasn't the best for, you know, a successful outcome in certain areas. Right. And I've talked to other guests too on this podcast where they grew up in an area, they fell in with the wrong crowd. They got into drinking or drugs or, you know, whatever. And they realized that if I just keep staying around these people, I'm not going to change. Like nothing's going to change. And this one guy in particular that I had on the podcast a while back, he ended up moving and it wasn't an easy move because he left everything, all his friends, his family, they were all toxic in his life. And he moved away like hundreds of miles from these people. And he said he never wanted to see these people again because they weren't helping him. They're, if anything, they were weighing him down and they were moving him in the wrong direction. And now he's a successful business owner. He's happily married as a family, you know, and everything. And life is going well for him. And I think that's something that we need to consider as well in some of this, you know, this insanity that I was talking about, doing the same thing over and over and again, and expecting different results. If we're hanging out around the same people who are not encouraging us to get better or are actually actively encouraging us to do the opposite and we end up getting worse off because of them, we can't expect much to change at that point. Right. So
absolutely.
I know you were talking about, you know, these mastermind groups and finding a mentors and stuff, but what kind of people should we surround ourselves with if we want to achieve certain kind of goals?
That is a great question. And I'll do a two-part on that. Cause I know earlier I didn't really touch up on, you know, when I was saying leaving that crowd. So yeah, I absolutely was involved with the same exact people my sophomore year in high school, one of my best friends from childhood, he hung out with a crowd of people that were all drug dealers. And it was funny, you know, hanging out with them because they were cool dudes. But for me, it was like, that's not for me. What I'm going to do is actually be that middle one. So I was like, hey, you need something? Here, push them to this guy. Or what I'll do is I'll see that they're smoking or something. And I'd be like, oh, let me go to the store for you guys. And I would say, hey, you know, give me 10 bucks. I'll go buy you whatever you want, but I'm going to get something or keep the couple dollars, you know? So I'll do that, you know, take a couple bucks. And that was how I was able to make money. One of my boys would always give me money, but I thought, you know, this is it, you know, this is cool. And it was one of those, you know, I was the slick one getting everybody out of trouble, talking all the time. The police officers were always like looking at us, what we're doing. Hey, officer, how you doing today? Oh, how could I help you? And I took interest, you know, in what they were doing. So I created this image to where I was learning something. And what was funny is originally my first high school I was at, I actually got thrown against the wall, searched one time. And it wasn't even like, I didn't have anything on me. I was a freshman at that time. Didn't even know, you know, I knew about drugs, but didn't really like be around those people yet. So it was funny when I was, you know, somewhat associated and then, you know, police officers were always looking in the town I was at. So it was funny with that, you know, holding that balance. One of my cousins ended up getting strung out on meth. And then he started having, you know, my friends that were gangbanging coming up to me. Hey, bro, we're about to jump you. What's good? You know, your cousin's talking all this. He owes us some money. And I'm like, well, that's on him. And then my cousin, we're family. And I'm like, that's not how family is. Family don't string each other out to dry. They don't have that. People ain't trying to break into your house again. Like, these are all things that are easily managed. But that eventually one of my cousin's best friend, two of his best friends died. One of them ended up getting murdered. So it was one of those things where it was like, is this what you want? You know, do you want to be around these people? So once I stopped, you know, surrounding it, I ended up moving, you know, and I was wrestling, made some more friends and they were cool, but they weren't really trying to do anything with their life. They just wanted to party, do whatever, talk shit. And for me, you know, I ended up getting embarrassed because something happened with my family that got out to the whole town. So everybody was like judging me. Oh, this and that, you know, my own family didn't want me to go in the same room with them because they thought my mom had an affair. So it was one of those things where it was like, I'm over here saying, oh no, that's not true. Well, the dude she did almost got shot by my stepdad. So it was this thing where everybody was coming after me. And then I said, you know what? I'm good. I don't need any of you guys because you're not living where I want to be at. You're not doing it. You're not replicating it. Obviously, if you're running your mouth in front of me, that means you're saying something about me behind me. So that was where it clicked for me. It's like, hey, these people are toxic. They're bad. Then it goes to that concept of who do you want to be, right? And if you do want to be that person, what are those people that are there are doing? So that's where I started looking into it. And the mastermind groups helped me because I was able to get a mentor. But it's in any case, you know, what are you thinking of? You know, if you want to be a business owner, what are the top business owners doing? Well, they have excellent time management skills. They know how to network. They know how to social media market. They know how to reach out to their audience. And those are all the things you start developing slowly. Or in this case, you know, just start watching their posts, look at the structure. Okay. You know, they're structuring it this way. Look at the headlines. Maybe reading's not for you. You can try audiobooks. Maybe that's not for you. You can do YouTube videos. But anyway, it's all about making those monumental increases. That's going to lead you to be who you are is by, you know, it's all about making those monumental increases and saying, hey, you know, this is where I want to be at. This is what I want to do. And it sucks. You know, it sucks because right now, that may not be who you are. It may take a little bit more work, but you can definitely do that. All you got to do is find, you know, where you want to be and then find a way to get into there. Because I know sometimes, you know, you want to be somewhere, but those people are a different crowd. Maybe just slowly get integrated. Maybe, you know, never ask for something directly, but say, hey, you know, can I help you with this? Or maybe you go, you want to help out a business owner and you go and you start, you know, doing janitorial work for them and then slowly building that relationship to be able to say, hey, can I do something for you? So you're able to provide that value versus going directly and asking somebody for something you don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that too. That works. Now what if it's a situation where we're unsure about whether or not we should be trying this new thing? Maybe it's, you know, something, you know what, I'm kind of interested. Maybe they're worried they're going to invest some time or resources into this new thing. Maybe, you know, all this extra energy that they're going to be diving into some new path, a new career or new education, you know, path or whatever like that. And they're worried that they're going to find out that, you know what, this isn't for me. Now, how do you go and approach that situation like that? So you're not feeling like you're just treading water and just stuck where you are because you're almost like afraid to try that next thing.
That is a good question. I actually seen a video on this the other day and it said, for those of you who are 28 years old right now, you're thinking about getting a 4-year degree, but you don't want to because you're going to be 32. Well, let me tell you, in 4 years, you're still going to be 32. And I thought that was funny because it's symbolic. Yes. Sometimes we don't want to take that leap. Sometimes we don't. Right. But you have two options. You can either stay in that hole you dug yourself in and think about what could have been, or you can take action. Maybe you fail, right? So I jumped into a mortgage brokerage. I'm going to school. I have a family. I'm starting the podcast. You know, I'm researching all in my off time. And then I have to work on my mortgage broker exam. Well, I failed 3 times. I couldn't pass the test. And it was something where other people around me, but when I looked at it, I have so much on my plate. I'm up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning going to the gym, you know, and it's onto that. Then it's working all day. Then it's family. And then it's studying. So when it's like, when I got my me time to do what I had to do, it wasn't that, you know, it was executing on reading a book, maybe doing homework to where I was over cramming and didn't give myself the chance to succeed versus that. So you really got to look at it and say, hey, you know, why am I failing? Maybe it's because of this. And then you're able to regroup. So I realized, you know, after that, yeah, I was failing because I was doing way too many things. So maybe that's not what I was supposed to do at that time. So I ended up, you know, we bought a house, moved on from that. And that was where I was able to see, hey, you know, now I'm falling into the right place because I was able to see exactly what I wanted to do. Slowly you will, you know, you're right. You know, there's going to be times where you jump into something. I don't really know. Podcasting definitely is that because you have that fear of identity. You don't want to be talking and saying something that you aren't because people are going to pick up on that. So you got to be transparent and say exactly. So that was one of those where for me, I was like, is this it? Well, let's stick with it a little bit. Maybe let's get some help. Let's see if what we're saying is legitimate. And then from there, that's where it's able to grow. So you got to take that leap regardless. You're going to fail. Everybody fails, you know, and if you look at it, even the most successful people in the world, you know, either had a bankruptcy or they failed at something at some point in time, you just go through it. You know, it's about what you want in the end and who you want to become. And if you want to be that same person, well, then you're going to keep spinning those wheels. But if you want to say, you know what, this is it, I want to try something. And it could just be like doing one thing, you know, and it could be watching one YouTube video and, oh, okay, now that's changing, or going on TikTok and watching one little TikTok. And those are things that you do that's going to change your mindset. Or maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to look into this. We'll start researching slowly, and then you'll be able to want to, versus having that fear saying, I can't do it. You know what? You can't. If you want to say you can't do it, because you're putting that limitation on yourself. But when you change it and say, you know what, I'm going to try, I'm going to do something, or maybe listen to somebody. And that's another big thing, you know, is when you do get those people telling you, hey, this is what you need to do. That's where you start saying, all right, well, they told me I need to do it. And you start executing. Then you realize, okay, this may be where I need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It all boils down to, you know, just try something, you know, and give it a shot. Like you said, you may fail at it. But as long as you're not looking at failure as a failure, you're looking at as a opportunity to learn something new, whether it's something new about yourself or the thing that you're trying or whatever, it's not truly a failure. You've learned something. So that's a success in my book.
Absolutely, brother.
You're moving on to, you know, bigger, better things when you try things like that. So, you know, I think that's spot on, you know. What are some books or other resources that might be available to help people kind of understand and maybe get started on this journey to getting out of this rut, stop doing the same things over and over again, and start trying to find a better path for themselves?
That is a good question. What's funny is I actually have a stack of like 20 books on my desk right here. So one of the first books, and this is where mindset and who you are shapes you, right? First book, excuse me. So I was going to join a pyramid scheme and they told me to read a book. So I read that first book, boom, right? Then from there, it was all of a sudden I read books now. So I was like, well, what do I want to read? This stuff doesn't interest me. This all sucks, right? So I went into gravitating towards my interest. One of my favorite rappers is 50 Cent. So he has a book, Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter, if you ever heard of it. Phenomenal book. He talks about how he was on the street and how he was, you know, drug dealing, to where that parallels to commercial life, you know, and talking about when he's in the corporate world and he's working on his album and this and that, you know, and the strategies behind it. Talks about how they would use different strategies. Like he trashed the boardroom, for instance, one time, and people thought, oh, he's upset. No, that was all strategic, because they knew if they did that, they're going to promote the album. They're going to promote whatever they're doing. It's going to draw attention. So it was attention, excuse me. So it was all those things where it was like learning, okay, well, he did it. That helped, you know. And I'm saying in my case, because I was stuck in that belief where it was like, this is me, you're not going to change me, you know? So from there, that allowed me to expand it. Next book I read right when I got out the Marine Corps, 48 Laws of Power. Dangerous book. I wish I'd never read that book at that time. The reason why is it took me to the last 2 months in the Marine Corps to realize how to defeat my boss that was giving me all this harm, you know, making my life a living hell, when I literally could have just read this book and realized, oh, just let her be, you know, don't say anything to her. If it's a staff meeting, she needed you to tell her some communication, you told her, just let her be a fool in there. And people are going to start picking up on it. Slowly they did. People were like, what the heck is going on? Like, we need you. We need your expertise. We need you to be able to handle these problems versus, you know, trying to take us down these different routes. So 48 Laws of Power, How to Win Friends and Influence People, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Another one I like was Unfuck Your Business, because it really goes into that one. And then the other one that I love so much was David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, because he just dove straight into it, where he's talking about the mental, being abused. I went through that as well, to talking about, you know, gaining weight, not being who you are, and then just saying that his mental fortitude is something amazing, you know, and us as veterans, we often have that same mentality where it's no one gives a F, keep pushing. Well, let's use that to our advantage. You know what? No one does. So they only realize what you're doing until you've made it. So let's make it and let's prove that, you know, and every single day we're going to keep pushing regardless of the case, you know, and that's where listening to David Goggins per se aligned with me feeling that way about my family, about my friends who passed, my family who passed, where I was like, it's a disservice to not do as well as I should do. It's a disservice to not live up to my goals because these people ain't here no more. to do it as well. You know, and some of them were young. So it was one of those where it was like, do I want to keep doing this? And obviously, if you read that book, you're not going to, you're definitely going to feel empowered to take action.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a great list of books. And, you know, I haven't heard of all of those, but I'll definitely check some of those out because it sounds like they have some good information in there.
Absolutely.
One more I'd love to add to the list, if I could, is, and I've talked about it on the podcast before, but it's called Atomic Habits. And
amazing book.
It's really, for anyone who hasn't read the book, it's really just about how you can make small incremental changes in your own life to achieve your goals, whatever it happens to be. Like, you know, they use like weight loss or, you know, fitness as an example in the book a few times. And, you know, if you're looking to drop 25 pounds or something like that, you can't expect that you're going to do something and by the end of the week, you're going to have all 25 pounds dropped. Like, that, it just doesn't work that way. Like, or if it did, you're doing it the unhealthy way. You can't do it. That's not sustainable. You can't do it that way. But if you make those small changes in your diet, you know, instead of picking up a piece of candy, you pick up a piece of fruit or, you know, some vegetables or something instead, as a snack, then those little incremental changes are going to help you get to where you need to go.
Exactly, brother. And that's exactly what I was going to say, is I have the four steps right here, how to build a habit on my wall that I read every single day. Oh, I got to make it obvious. I got to make it attractive, easy, satisfying. So I'm able to learn what to do to build those habits. So great point there. That's what I extracted from that book, and I use it in everyday life.
Yeah. And that's a cool thing about it, is it's something that you can use in everyday life. It can help you create new habits that are good, positive habits, the things that you want to do to help you achieve whatever your goals are, professionally, personally, whatever. But it also helps you stop doing the bad things, those negative habits, whether it's smoking or eating junk food or
that's a big one.
Whatever, it can help you do that opposite too. And it works both ways. And it's really amazing when you think about it, when you read the book and go through like some of those steps, like you were just talking about those four steps, it really does help to kind of hone in on what the thing is that you're trying to do or not do, and develop the habits that will help you achieve the goals that you're looking for. So I think that's a good example as well. Let's talk a bit about your podcast. I know you talked a lot about getting into podcasting and everything like that, but I'd like to give you the chance to share your podcast, what it's all about, and what people can expect to take away from it when they listen to it.
Absolutely. And my podcast is called The Winner's Paradigm. Like I said earlier, it's about recalibrating your mindset to be who you want to be. So that's where I jump into talking about early life. I talk about how kind of the relationship with my father is, how on one episode, it was actually amazing. I had another gentleman on and we're talking about fatherhood. And I said, hey, I just had a daughter, my wife and I just had a baby. And I have a daughter now, and I don't want to be that same dad that I had, because it was the drill sergeant yelling, you're a piece of this. It was amazing because I was accustomed to it by the time I got to, boot camp. They're yelling at me. I'm laughing. They're like, why are you laughing? Because I went through this. Of course they make you not laugh because they can do worse, but it was one of those where it was like the relationship we had was terrible, and it was, I don't want that to be for my kids. So there's an episode we go on there, we talk about fatherhood, things we can do. And that's all it's about, it's just really bettering ourselves, counting our wins, figuring out how do we extract wins from growth? How do we be able to get out of this ditch we're in? Maybe it's talking about mindset, like we said earlier, Atomic Habits. Maybe it's talking about that book. Maybe it's getting people on and talking about our failures or talking about how they're able to accomplish their dreams by just taking a little initiative. So I really hone in into the mental aspect of it so we can be able to prepare ourselves with those tools. And then from there say, hey, here's these books, here's this interview, so you can be able to see exactly, what it's like when you're hearing from somebody who's been there and done that. So that's my favorite thing, is just talking about that mental mindset. Cause I know for me, I got so bad into it where it was no one cares. I don't care. I don't want to even talk to you. And it was like, hey, why am I turning into this? You know, but once you're able to actually acknowledge those things and talk about that, yes, we got stuck in a rut. You know what? I tore all the cartilage in my right knee, got out the Marine Corps. That was the worst thing. I was feeling so good when I was, you know, the corporal. I was in a win, meritorious sergeant. I got pulled off the board. And it was like, now you're trash. And then the Marine Corps comes out with a new order. You know, you have to have 4 years time in service to pick up. So now I'm going to wait another extra. And if I would have stayed in, I wouldn't have got promoted for another 2 years. So I've been a 4-year corporal based off that rule and me getting injured. So it was one of those where it was like, who are you? You know, and I love diving deep into that because that's where that growth happens, you know, is when you acknowledge what's happened to you. And that, you know, we all deal with our struggles, whether, you know, you came from the greatest family or the worst, you're going to have that time where you're going to run into something, because I have a couple friends like that, you know, where they're well off, came into it, but they don't know how to communicate with people because they're so used to getting what they want that they don't know how to ask people. They come off ignorant or arrogant. And it's one of those where you're like, hey, bro, you need to work on it, because they don't notice these things just as we don't. You know, for me, I used to pop off all the time and want to prove somebody wrong. Then I realized results speak for themselves. So why do I need to explain myself? I don't, you know, I don't need to go in get in this engagement with somebody where it's just degrading each other's character. Why? You know, there's no reason to do it anymore. At this time, we're not seeing each other through, you know, let's be able to take some time to be able to separate so you can collect your thoughts, you know, and not ruin your energy. So I really love diving into, you know, our energy, kind of plant-based medicine or anything we can do to make our lives better. Because I know another thing that's big as well, you know, is how the VA will just give us medication for our problems. And that's not necessarily what's going to help us. For me, they said, oh, we're going to give you antidepressants. I start flipping out. That's not how they work. I'm like, I can't take that. This is the second time already. All of a sudden it's my fault. You know, I'm forcing myself to have panic attacks. Yeah. You know, so it was one of those where it was like, how could I be able to get around this problem, get through my shit? Because I was struggling, you know, severe depression, anxiety. And it was just like, I don't even like going out of my house, you know? And it was the only time I would leave is grocery store, you know, Target with the wife or going to the gym. But it's, you know, looking into those things and saying, hey, you know, how could we be able to win? And let's win. And it's counting it, you know, it's diving deep into yourself. It's healing the trauma. It's talking about things people don't want to. It's being unfiltered. And that's what I love doing on there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a pleasure talking to you today, finding out more about, you know, how to get back on the right track or finding, discovering our path that we need to be on.
Absolutely, brother.
Where can people go to find your podcast and listen to that, subscribe to it, and everything else that you might be doing?
Absolutely, brother. So you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You'll put in there the Winner's Paradigm podcast. It'll pop up. And then the website is thewinnersparadigm.xyz. If you want to be able to join a community, a free community, excuse me, of podcasters who are elite alphas that are working on, you know, bettering themselves, monetizing, networking, you'll be able to click on the link on there. It's called Alpha Podcasters.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So I'll have links to all of that in the show notes as well. So anyone who's looking to check it out, want to subscribe to it and listen to some of the episodes, go ahead, check out the show notes and you'll be able to find all of that stuff right in there. So thank you again, Alundis, for coming on the podcast, sharing your story, your background, and what it is that you do to go out and help people. So I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you as well, Scott. Thank you again, brother.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.